So in our lives, there are a lot of things that we want to see breakthrough happen, or we want to see God move. And so this afternoon, I'm going to be talking about intercession, about prayer, and how we can align ourselves with God's heart. So when we align ourselves with God's heart, and then we partner with the Lord in intercession, that's when we see the breakthrough. And I was already seeing some of your groups who are already breaking off into prayer. It's very natural. I should have saved that for the end as a ministry response time. Maybe we'll do it at the end. But let me pray. So God, thank you that your heart and your desire is to raise up the intercessors and raise up a house of prayer, a church that prays, Lord. So today we ask God that you would speak to us and that you would show us the power of prayer, the power of intercession. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're going to read a passage today from Mark. Mark 11, 15 through 18. So let's read this together. On reaching Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple courts and began driving out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves and would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. Taught them, he said, "Is it not written, 'My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations,' but you have made it a den of robbers?" The chief priests and the teachers of the law heard this and began looking for a way to kill him, for they feared him because the whole crowd was amazed at his teaching. So today's message is talking about a house of prayer. And this is where we see that phrase here in Mark. So Jesus is entering the temple and he sees that there's money changers and they're doing all these things and they're selling and stuff like that. And Jesus gets really angry and he gets really actually frustrated. And so he starts to overturn tables. And in other places, as he makes a whip and he starts whipping and says, "Get out of here." Kind of outside the character of Jesus, if you were to first read, it's like, whoa, Jesus, calm down, right? But he says this interesting thing. He says, "Is it not written, 'My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations,' but you have made it a den of robbers?" Now, Jesus wasn't the first person to say this. He's actually quoting from a passage in Isaiah. And we're going to read that together too. Let's read that. "And foreigners who bind themselves to the Lord to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord, and to be his servants, all who keep the Sabbath without desecrating it, and who hold fast to my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. For my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations." So now this is God speaking. And so God himself says, "I want my house, my temple to be called a house of prayer." And so the context for this Isaiah passage is that God is inviting not just his own people, the Jews and the Israelites, but he's actually saying, the foreigners too. The foreigners, that those who are willing to bind themselves to the Lord, those that are willing to come and follow God, those that are willing to come and love him, that he will gather everyone and that they can worship God together. And then his house will be called a house of prayer. So today, let's talk about what this means. So what is a house of prayer? So a house of prayer is a praying church. So who is the church? We are the church, right? We are the body of Christ. So as a New Vine community, we are the body of Christ that stands in the gap through intercession to cry out, pray, confess, and contend for breakthrough, God's kingdom on the earth. And so intercession is one of the key weapons that the Lord gives us to combat in the spiritual realm. So let's talk about an earthly battle. Okay? In an earthly battle, when nations go to war, what kind of weapons would they use? Guns. All right. What else? Missiles, nukes, tanks, planes, right? Those are the weapons of earthly warfare, okay? Now, did you know in the spiritual realm, there are also spiritual weapons? One of those weapons is intercession. Another one is worship, which I love. But today we're only, I'm going to focus mainly on intercession. Intercession is one of the weapons that the Lord gives us to see breakthrough in our lives and for our church and for our community and for those around us. When you align yourself with heaven and you intercede, you will see God move because that pleases the heart of God. So, New Vine is a praying church. Amen? We are an interceding church. You know, like even in these past 2.5 years that New Vine has around, we actually have already seen God working and moving among us, right? Just through prayer. You know, sometimes we think the family time is like, okay, just share whatever you want. But do you notice like a lot of the things that people have shared in family time, we've actually seen breakthrough in? Because as a community, we surrounded each other in prayer and we cried out on each other's behalf and God answered, right? So God loves it when his people intercede. And so we are a praying church. Now, I want to talk specifically about the how, right? So if we're a praying church, then how exactly does that work? Like, what do I pray? Like, how do I pray? I want to talk using the Lord's Prayer, because the Lord's Prayer is what Jesus prayed in Matthew 6, 9 through 13. And so the Lord's Prayer is what Jesus prays as a model. He said, this then is how you should pray. And so you see that even in prayer, there's different, I'll call it elements or types of prayer, is that you notice that when we have a communication with the Lord, there are certain things that we will tend to pray in themes. So one of them is adoration or thanksgiving. So our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Holy is your name. So this is the adoration. Adoration is to praise God and to thank him for who he is. And that's important because sometimes we forget who God is, right? But sometimes in the act of adoring God and speaking forth his nature, not only do you praise God and God gets the glory, but you also remind yourself who God is. So God is a faithful God. God is the God of breakthrough. God is the good shepherd that we just listen to his voice and we follow him. And so this is one great way that you can pray, is to adore God and speak about who he is. Now, another one is intercession. So Jesus says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'll talk more about that later. Another one is supplication. Supplication is a big word for saying help, right? Help, help God. How many of you need help from the Lord? We all need help from the Lord. It's a good prayer, right? You don't know what to do? What do you say? Help, right? Help, God. And God loves it when we cry out to him for help, okay? So, you know, when Jesus prayed, give us today our daily bread. These are the needs that I have, and I'm asking the Lord for help. Another one is confession or repentance, meaning I'm sorry. I'm sorry, God. I confess that I have messed up, that I have sinned. So Jesus says, forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. So confession and repentance is also a critical element of prayer. Okay. Now, maybe you've heard different acronyms. There's one that's called ACTS, right? A-C-T-S. And it's modeling a model of prayer. A is for adoration. C is for confession. T is for thanksgiving. S is for supplication. So if you ever say, I don't know what to pray, you can use ACTS as a model of prayer. Some of us go through this Bible in a year plan called Time with Abba, and then when we pray it out, we focus on three elements of scripture and in prayer, which is declaration of who God is, confession and repentance, and then claiming God's promises. And so there's a lot of different models of prayer, but I'm just kind of highlighting a couple just so that you can see that the intricacies of what prayer is. But today I'm focusing specifically on intercession. So intercession is to stand in the gap. And this term stand in the gap comes from the passage in Ezekiel 22:30. So let's read this together. I looked for someone among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land, not have to destroy it, but I found no one. To stand in the gap means to plead on behalf of another. It's to stand or plead on behalf of another to God. I have a picture I'll show it to you later. But it's here. Let's go to this slide. Intercede. Okay, so inter means between, and seed is to go. So it means to go in between to plead on behalf of another. So when we intercede, we're pleading on behalf of another, but we're also praying heaven on earth, because that's what Jesus said. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It also means to contend in prayer for people or for an issue. And it's also to pray until breakthrough, God's will on the earth. So maybe this illustration will help. I spent a long time on this picture. We are the intercessor. You say to the person next to you, you are an intercessor. So you're standing in the gap, right? So we are on this earth, obviously, right? You're sitting in your chair. You work among people. You have your own families. And we're here on earth, right? Actually, that's not our home, right? Our home is in heaven. When we become a child of God, we are now aligned with Jesus Christ and with God. So as the intercessor, we have heaven in our heart, or the kingdom in our heart, and we stand on behalf of the people and pray heaven to earth. So as an intercessor, you sense and hold both the heart of God, but you stand and minister on behalf of the people. So to recap, an intercessor is one who stands in the gap in intercession to cry out, pray, confess, and contend for breakthrough, God's kingdom on the earth. One thing I have found about intercession is that intercession, so let's back up a little bit and talk about when the Holy Spirit moves, right? When the Holy Spirit moves, actually, I found that it's actually intertwined with not just intercession, but a lot of other things. So I found that intercession often combines with worship, which often combines with prophecy, which often combines with healing, which often combines with the Word of God. And I thought about it, I said, why is that? And I think that sometimes when God moves, it is so beyond us that we try to put the vocabulary to what God is doing. And intercession is one of the descriptors of the work of God. But oftentimes, there's actually a lot of things combined. Let me give you an example. You know, every Friday night, a group of us gather to intercede and to worship. So we basically get together for worship. We sing two or three songs of worship. And then we go and we pray the word in intercession. Okay. And then that night, one of the ladies, she had a stomach ache. And she said, oh, I have a stomach ache. Okay. So we went through the whole thing. We worshiped. We prayed and we interceded and we used the word of God. And then afterwards, everything ended and we said, okay, let's pray for you for your stomach ache. And then she said, oh, actually, I don't have a stomach ache anymore. It left during worship. So, you know, what do you make of that? Is it intercession? Is it worship? Is it the word? Is it healing? It's a lot of stuff happening at once, right? Another time I was in a group and this guy is another stomach ache. The guy said, I have a stomach ache. So we said, okay, let's all gather around and let's pray for you. And as we were laying hands, the Lord revealed that he had a stomach ache because it was a lot of stress and anxiety, that he was a person that was dealing with two different organizations and he felt like he had to stand between the two organizations. And there was just a lot of stress and anxiety. So we said to him, why don't you confess that and lay that before the Lord? So he did. He repented and he confessed before the Lord, and we stood just listening to his confession. And afterwards we said, we stand as your witness that God has heard your confession and we bless you. So in Jesus' name, we command the stomach ache to leave. After the prayer time, we said, how do you feel? And he said, the stomach ache is gone. I mean, he had it for 2 to 3 months, but then after one session of prayer, it just completely left. Right. So again, like, what is that? It's a little bit of everything, right? It's healing, it's intercession, it's prophecy, because there's a prophetic word that was given. Another time, I was meeting up with a friend, and before I met up with them, I said, okay, we'll meet at this restaurant for lunch. And before I met up with him, I was at church, and I was working on my computer, and suddenly I felt a pain in my back. And I don't get lower back pain, but this particular time I had lower back pain. It was pretty sharp. And I was like, ouch. And I said, why is that? And someone told me once before that sometimes God gives us what we call sympathy pains, meaning that God allows you to feel for someone so that you can pray for them. So I said, maybe this is a sympathy pain. So anyway, I said, okay, you gotta go. So I drove in my car. I got to the restaurant. My friend wasn't there, so I went up to the counter and I was looking at the menu. I was talking to the guy behind the register and I said, do you have any lower back pain? And the guy was like, no. I was like, oh. I said, okay. So anyway, he didn't have lower back pain. And then I sat down and I waited for my friend to come. So finally he arrived and I said, do you have lower back pain? He's like, yes. They said, can I pray for you? He said, yes. So we prayed together and the lower back pain decreased significantly. It didn't completely go away, but sometimes the Lord will share a piece of his heart with you so that you can pray, so that you can intercede, so that you can speak healing. So all that to say is that they're highly intertwined. There's another time that I was praying for a guy. And I was laying hands on him, and I was just listening and seeing if the Lord would say anything. And in my mind, I heard a loud clanging sound, like really loud. It wasn't audibly, but I just heard it in the spirit. I said, what is that, Lord? So I asked this guy, and I said, I heard a loud sound. And it's very disturbing. It's like, I feel like you've been unrest. You've not been getting a lot of rest. Is that true? And then he said, yeah, I actually haven't been sleeping well at all. And I said, all right, let me pray for you. I said, so I prayed for him and I asked that God would give him good rest. Right? After the prayer time, you can't ask him how he feels because he's not asleep, right? Over the next couple of days, I asked him, how have you been sleeping? He said, I've been sleeping a lot better. So God is a supernatural God, right? So, all activities of the Holy Spirit or a spirit-filled life. So the dynamics of an intercessor, let me first talk about direction. As an intercessor, what direction are you facing? I always thought in prayer that I was facing God. Because, you know, usually that's how you would think prayer is, right? When you pray, you're talking to God, right? So you're making your requests to God and you're talking to him. But then one day the Lord showed me a picture. It was a moving picture. But in the picture, I saw that there are a bunch of people lined up in a line and each one of them are going before God and making a request. And the person at the front of the line make a request to God, and walk away. And the second person come up. And then I saw a different picture. I saw myself standing with God and looking at earth. And then I realized that intercession is not a pleading to God, but it's standing with the Father and speaking heaven onto earth. Do you see the subtle difference? Is because I feel like sometimes in prayer, it can almost assume a sort of like a pleading or a begging of God. Think, God, please do this, right? You know, maybe for some of us when we were students, or if you are a student, you didn't study for the test, right? So you're like, God, please let me pass this. I swear I'll go to church. Is that intercession? No. God, please let him or her be the one. Like, I swear I'll share the gospel with her and she'll become a Christian. You know, I don't know, things like that. But I want to say today that actually intercession, you don't need to ever plead or beg God if you're aligned with his heart already. Do you know what I mean? Like, when you stand with the Father, then you have the Father's heart, then you can speak with authority what God has already condoned. So there are some things that the Lord has already given permission for. And our direction as an intercessor is to stand with the Father in the heavenlies interceding to earth. And I took this from Romans 8:34. So let's read this together. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, was raised to life and is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. So here it's giving us a picture of where Jesus is now. Jesus is not on earth, but he's standing with God at the right hand of the Father. And Romans says that he's actually interceding for us. Well, that's comforting, right? If there's no one that's praying for you, you know that at least Jesus is praying for you. But Jesus is interceding for us. And so actually, when we participate in the spiritual activity of intercession, we are also standing with God and interceding and speaking heaven onto earth. This is another picture I received, and I drew it a couple years ago. I feel like sometimes we're like throwing up prayers to God and say, I hope one of these will stick. But then God showed me that actually you have to pray from the place of position and sonship or daughtership. When you pray from the position of sonship and daughtership, it's just way more effective. So as an intercessor, what is your status before God? So our status before God is that we stand from the position of sonship and daughtership with God as our Father. I think it was Mike Plunkett. He gave this illustration. Mike Plunkett was one of the speakers that spoke a couple months ago, but he said, who can wake up the king in the middle of the night and ask for a glass of water, except for the son or the daughter, right? So when you're a son and a daughter of the king, there's actually things that you can ask because you understand where you stand with God. So it's praying with versus praying to. A lot of times we're praying to God, please, Lord, let this happen. But when you, like what I said, if you know the heart of God and you align yourself already with the heart of God, then you can pray with God to see something happen. And this is what Jesus himself said, right? Matthew 6:9. Let's read this together. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So you're not fundamentally a sinner before God. You're not a slave and you're not trying to appease him. You're a son and you're a daughter. And if you're a son and if you're a daughter with God, then you have access to God and the king. And if you have access to the king, then you have access to authority, spiritual authority. by what motivation do we pray? We pray with faith and we pray with authority. So let's read James 1, 6 through 7. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. So James is saying, when you pray, you must have faith. Sometimes faith is as simple as believing that God is not a liar. So if God says something happens, you just take it by faith. If God said it, then I just believe it, right? I don't have to spend too much time figuring out, well, I know God said it, but is it true or is it not? Now, Luke 10, 19, I'll read that to you. It says, this is Jesus speaking. He said, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that your spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. So, praying with authority. One time I was speaking at another church, and I was speaking about healing, right? That Jesus Christ is our healer. And so At the end, I said, okay, I'm going to pray for people, and I'm going to show you right now that Jesus Christ is our healer. This is always a risky thing to say, right? But I pray risky prayers. And so I said, anyone need healing? Come up, raise your hand. So, yeah, everyone was very shy. It was like a room full of youth. Nobody raised their hand. I said, come on, like, anyone? Everyone was quiet. And finally, one girl raised her hand. And so she came to the front. And I said, what do you want me to pray for you for? And she's like, just pray for me that I will be well. And I said, how do you want to be well? Just pray for me that I'll be well. She wasn't giving any specifics. So it was really hard. I was like, okay, what do I pray for? But anyway, I blessed her. And then at the end, it was okay. It was kind of awkward. So she sat back down, and now it was really awkward. Like, nobody wanted to raise their hand. I said, come on, guys. And then finally, one of the adults raised his hand. He was like one of the counselors. And so I said, okay, come to the front. And I said, how can I pray for you? He's like, my shoulder has been really bothering me. I think it was this one, his right shoulder. And then he said, yeah, it's just been very sore, and I can't move it too much, and the range of motion. So I said, okay, let's pray for you. I prayed a first time. So I said, God, thank you. Lord, we ask for healing right now in the name of Jesus. All the muscles, you know, be completely made well in Jesus' name. Amen. And then I said, you know, how do you feel? He said, about the same. I said, okay. And I said, I pray a second time. So I prayed a second time. Lord, we just ask for healing, you know. All muscles be healed, like, you know, any strain, anything like that, just leave. And just ask for the healing hand of Jesus upon this guy's shoulder. Amen. How do you feel? He moved it around a little bit, and he said, maybe a little bit better. Anyway, we end up praying a third time, end up praying a fourth time. By the fourth time, he was completely healed. And he was like swinging his arm. He's really happy. He had like a huge smile on his face. He's like, wow, like all the pain is gone. And I said, and so it's just so encouraging. It was encouraging for me, and it was encouraging for the people, because we say, Jesus Christ does heal. Now, why am I saying this story? I'm saying it because when you pray and when you intercede, you must do it with authority. You must do it with persistence. You must do it believing that Jesus Christ can heal. And you have to break through the awkward stage, right? Because it's so awkward to pray for people for healing sometimes. And so the first time, nothing happens. Sometimes it'll be like, oh, whatever. Okay, sit back down, right? Or it's like a help prayer, like a not supplication prayer, but it's like almost like a pitiful help prayer. Like, God, if you're out there, if you can do anything, Lord. I don't know, Lord. I don't know what I'm asking anymore. I guess if you heal and that's great. If you don't, hey, whatever, you know, like, you know, but thy will be done. Amen. And then you don't even ask how they're feeling. You say, okay, bye. You know, we cannot pray pitiful prayers. You have to really press in sometimes. And this is what I've noticed. I've noticed that breakthrough happens after about 3 to 4 points of opposition. Now there's no, I'm not quantifying that, but I've noticed that in my life and in certain moments of breakthrough where something significant happens and the testimony comes out, I say, praise God. There are usually several moments of opposition. And so sometimes you have to push through the opposition moment. Like, I'll say, like, maybe one opposition moment is someone saying, see, it doesn't happen. Say, okay, ignore it. Opposition number one. You keep going. You pray, nothing happens. And the person's like, oh, ow, ow, ow. It's like, oh, it's getting worse. Okay, that was opposition two. Yeah, opposition three. Well, it only got partially better. Okay, opposition. And then you pray, and then suddenly then there's breakthrough. So do you notice that in spiritual warfare, it's not like given to you all the time. It's not like, okay, the enemy is not like, all right, here you go. It's like, surrender. All right, here you go. Like, sometimes you have to fight for it. Sometimes you have to contend. And that's what I'm saying, that as an intercessor, sometimes you have to persist with authority and the holy confidence, okay? So let's pretend that you are a policeman, okay? You're a policeman. You're doing your rounds at night. You're driving around in your car in this neighborhood. And then suddenly, you look at a house and you see that there's a robber that's breaking into the house. What are you going to do? You're going to arrest him, right? Right? Now, what would it be like if you saw it and then you called your superior back at the station and you're like, I see this man breaking into the house. If you can just send one of your guys over here and just come and get this guy, that would be great. What would your boss say? You do it, right? You're the policeman, right? You have the badge, you have the gun, you have the handcuffs. You go and get this guy, right? But do you realize that sometimes that's how we pray? You pray asking God for things that you have already been given the authority to do. And one of those things is healing, okay? Now, I don't know where your healing theology is, but and mine has changed over the years. But one thing I realized is that, okay, you know, you go to seminary and you learn a lot of different positions. Like, well, God can heal, but so I became willfully stupid. I just said, if Jesus said it, then I'll just do it, right? And yes, we can argue for hours about why this happens, why this doesn't happen. But I've resolved that, okay, Lord, I don't want to be too overly complicated. So I said, all right, Lord, if your word says it, I just want to believe with faith that you'll do it. And if it doesn't happen, I don't know. I don't understand, but I'll just keep doing it, right? And that's one of the ways that I've approached healing, right? So you just pray because God has already given you the authority to, right? Jesus, when he sends out the disciples, when he sends out the 72, he gives them the authority to heal the sick. He said, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons, raise the dead. Freely you have received, freely you give, okay? So that's why in intercession, you have a certain amount of boldness. So, I'm going to talk briefly about some words that we throw around sometimes. But I just want to like specifically talk about some of these words that we're talking about when we're talking about intercession. What does it mean to contend? Contend is to fight for, okay? So when you're fighting for something, there is a struggle. And so it takes sometimes persistence. Sometimes you have to pray again and again and again until you see the breakthrough. So the illustration I give is like in war, right? In war, like I can't just run, take a gun, fire a bullet, and then turn my back and say, we won the war, right? Sometimes you have to hit the enemy again and again and again. Sometimes you have to take a hammer to the wall and hit it again and again until the wall falls down. And so to contend in intercession means that sometimes you will not see the breakthrough on the first time. Sometimes it takes breakthrough on the fifth time, on the 10th time, on the 500th time. Why is that? I don't know. But sometimes you just gotta contend. Now, for some of you, there are some things that you are contending for. And I want to say that if God has given it to you, then do not give up, right? Because you never know when the moment of breakthrough is going to happen. And God surprises us. Sometimes the breakthrough comes faster than we, you know, expect. To contend is also to tear down the strongholds, the lies, the demonic spirits, the ideologies, and the sin through intercession. So when you intercede, actually the Holy Spirit will reveal to you things that are happening, okay? He will reveal to you, okay, here's this spirit, here's this sin, here's the ideology. And you take the information as an intercessor and you respond through intercession to pray, to confess, to ask the blood of Jesus to cleanse. And in that way, we tear down the work and the strongholds of the enemy. Okay? So intercession is not easy. Say that person next to you. Intercession is not easy. And sometimes it takes work. Okay. What is spiritual warfare? Spiritual warfare is the spiritual battle between Satan, the demonic powers, and God. So Satan and God. It's the struggle, you know, the battle between the two. Now, the interesting and the encouraging thing is that when you read through scripture, you see who's fighting what and who's doing what. So one thing I'm encouraged by, even in spiritual warfare, it's God that fights the battles, right? This is how I fight my battles. You know, you are the God of angel armies. You're the one that fights. So God fights the battles, and actually you just partner with him. You see whatever God is doing and you come alongside and say, okay. Victory is already settled. Amen? We're fighting the battle, but the victory is already through Jesus Christ. When did the victory happen? 2,000 years ago on the cross. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, he brought victory. So now we stand as the already but not yet. We see and stand with Jesus Christ in the victory. But while we're on this earth, we are still experiencing the earthly struggle. But that doesn't mean that we do not know the outcome. Because the outcome is Jesus Christ, his victory, and God is exalted. Amen? So that's the good news. All right. So victory is already gotten for us. Okay. So as God's children, we claim victory through the cross. So Jesus, thank you for the cross. Thank you for your atonement. Thank you that by your stripes we are healed. In Jesus' name I speak healing in the blood of Jesus to cover you. That's how you do it. You can't do it through your own human will. It always has to be through Jesus Christ himself. Okay. So intercession is spiritual warfare prayer. Let me give you an example. So in World War II, right, there was this date called D-Day, right? Do you know what was D-Day? D-Day was when the Americans, the British, and the Canadians landed on the shore of France, of Normandy, right? And then that was their major breakthrough. And then from that point, they started to push the Germans from the Western Front and then the Soviets from the Eastern Front. And the date of D-Day was June 6, 1944. But when did World War II end? 1945, right? So that the complete surrender of both sides of was September 2nd, 1945. Okay? And then Germany surrendered May 7th, 1945. So D-Day was on June 6, 1944, and the Germans surrendered on May 7th, 1945. So that is approximately 1 year from D-Day. Now, at what point did the Allied powers start winning? Hard to say, right? But at least I think on D-Day was a major day of breakthrough, because from that point on, Germany started to shrink until 1 year later, they finally collapsed. So then as the forces are pushing through Europe, there's like liberation. They're, you know, setting people free. That's kind of like what it is for us. D-Day for us was the cross. Victory is when Jesus Christ returns. But in the meantime, we're moving forward already to victory. Do you know what I'm saying? So in spiritual warfare, we understand the position of where and the perspective of where we are. Breakthrough is small or large, minor or major victories for God in the spiritual realm. So when we're praying in intercession, we're praying for breakthrough. Excuse me. And so it's what intercessors are striving toward in intercession. So we win the battles of God to the ultimate victory in war. Okay. So as a New Vine community, I want to encourage us today that, number one, we are in good standing because we stand with Jesus Christ. And whenever you stand with Jesus Christ, that's the best place to stand. And as you stand with Jesus Christ and you align yourself with the heart of God, then we have the power of intercession to partner with the Lord in prayer to see his breakthrough happen, right? And so this is one of the weapons that the Lord has given us, is intercession. Now, as time goes on, I'm more and more convinced of how powerful intercession is. Because there's, you know, for us, right, there's so many situations in our life that we cannot change, that we cannot, like, you can't change it on a human level, right? But by intercession, by crying out in prayer, prayer changes things that you cannot change. And so I would rather partner with the Lord in intercession to see his breakthrough for my life, for my community's life, for the people around me, than to try everything on my own strength to make things happen. Number one, it's less work, all right? So for those of you that are lazy, just pray, right? Number two, it's so much more effective. You know what I mean? So as a New Vine community, in our community, we bear each other's burdens, right? So for example, family time. So when people share things that are on their heart, I want to encourage us that we can come together in intercession and partner for them to cry out for breakthrough. And then intercession, in unity, we begin to grasp the heart of God. So I'm going to end with the testimony from my family. So on Saturday, last Saturday, my family went to Tahoe on vacation. And then we found out that my grandma, she had a stroke, and she's 94 years old. And she lives in LA with my mom's side of the family. And she had a stroke on Saturday, so we found out, you know, she was admitted to the hospital and whatnot. So we immediately were like, it was very heavy news. But I think what was equally as heavy was that she's not a believer. So over the years, we've talked to her about Jesus, and like she's like kind of understood but kind of not. And there was a time where she actually did pray to accept Jesus, which was many years back. And then last year she got sick, so my mom and I drove down to LA just to see her and visit her, and then we talked with her just to try to affirm with her salvation. So we talked to her about Jesus and whatnot. But even as we talked to her last year, I don't think she got it, because we were explaining to her about sin, right? And how all of us are sinful and how, you know, that's why we need Jesus. But she was just having a really hard time understanding. She's like, well, I don't see how I'm a sinner. Like, I'm a relatively good person and I haven't done anything that wrong. So she just wasn't completely getting it. And, you know, that's basically where the conversation ended. And so we drove back up. And so I think, you know, this past year, that's one of the prayers. And I prayed also, it's like, God, would you show yourself to her that, you know, that she needs you, that help her to see it in a way that she can understand that she needs you, Jesus. So anyway, this past Saturday, we said, oh, we got the, you know, news that she was in the hospital. So my mom and I and my siblings, we decided, we said, I think we should go and see her, because, you know, it seems pretty serious. We don't know how much time she has left. At least we're going to go down and give her one more chance or give her another invitation to ask, do you want to accept Jesus? So we decided to drive down Thursday morning to LA, this past Thursday to LA, and we messaged a bunch of people and said, please pray for us and pray for my grandma, intercede with us on her behalf, that God would just break down any barriers or harden of heart or pride or anything like that that's preventing her from seeing that she needs Jesus. So we drove down Thursday morning and we got to LA in the afternoon. And then we got to the hospital, and then some of my aunts and uncles were there as well. And then she was in the hospital bed. And then some of my aunts and uncle left. So it was just my family and then my uncle Sam, that was also, he's also a believer, but a lot of my aunts and uncles are not believers. But it was that moment that we're all in the hospital room together. Oh, I'm sorry, I keep missing this part. Okay, let me rewind. A couple of weeks ago, I had a dream. And in my dream, I'm climbing a scaffolding. You know those wooden structures that they use for tall towers to do construction with? So anyway, in my dream, I'm climbing a scaffolding, but there's no building. It's just a freestanding scaffolding with Theo. And in the dream, we're carrying our grandma and we're climbing higher and higher and higher. And we climb so high to the point that it's very like rickety and whatnot, and we can't get down. And so I managed to find a vine and I swing off the vine and I leave Theo, my grandma, there. And then so I'm swinging out and then I realize I need to swing back. So I'm trying to swing back to Theo, my grandma. And as I'm swinging back, I see that there's a crane that has hoisted itself all the way up there and they're rescuing it, Theo, my grandma. But for some reason, my grandma is falling. She's falling. And so I'm swinging, and then I'm swinging, and then it's like catching a football. Like, I'm like, nah, and then she lands into my arms, and then I catch her, and then I look at her, and she's a baby. And then that was the dream. Kind of weird, but then I thought about it. I say, I think it's from the Lord. So I said to my family, I said, I had this dream. I feel like God just wants us to pray for Papa. And just continue to contend for her salvation. So that was the dream I had several weeks back. So when this happened on Saturday, I said, we were like, I think the time is critical that we need to go now. So that's where we went. So, all right, going all the way back. Now we're in the hospital, right? So it's just us. And then my mom has the great idea. She's like, why don't you bring your guitar and we start worshiping? So I said, okay. So I played the guitar and we just sang some of the older hymns that actually my grandma knows. So she knew Amazing Grace and What a Friend We Had in Jesus. And so we were singing it. And because of the stroke, she has some difficulty speaking, but she was able to hum along, which I was kind of surprised. I was like, oh, you know, she's singing it. So then afterwards, after we sang all the worship songs and stuff like that, then we shared with her. We said, we came here because we care about you and we want to see that you're well, but not just for your body, but so for your heart and your spirit. And so that, you know, if you, in the future, like if you go, that you know you have peace about where you're going and you have assurance. And we said, because of Jesus, we don't have to be afraid and that we don't have to, you know, be anxious, because we know that Jesus gives us the gift of salvation, and that's life for now and for eternity. And I said, you know, even for my dad passing away, it's sad, but we have hope and we know where he is and we don't have to be afraid and we don't have to fear anymore. So, you know, and then we asked her, we said, do you want to receive this gift of salvation? And then she was like, she's just nodding. It's like, yeah. And then we're like, what? And so we're kind of shocked. So I said, okay, why don't we pray together? So my mom prayed phrase by phrase in Chinese, and she was able to say word by word and accept Jesus into her heart. Amen. It was a miracle. Like, I sincerely believe that that could not have happened were it not the so many people that were interceding on our behalf. Because just 1 year ago, like, she had so many questions. And then how can it be in one moment, do you want to accept Jesus? Okay. You know, like, I think it was something that the Lord was doing. And, you know, even there was some doubt in me too, because I was like, well, like, you know, does she really get it? Like, does she really understand? Maybe because of the stroke, she's just, you know. But anyway, we came the next morning, Friday, before we headed back up to San Jose, to Bay Area. And that day in the time with Abba in the Bible, we're reading the story about how the young man was healed by Jesus. And he was blind, but then Jesus healed him, and then he could see. And then in the story, the Pharisees are just keep on questioning. He say, how did it happen? How did it happen? And then the young man says, you know, whether he is a prophet, I don't know. But one thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. And so we shared that with her. And I, you know, we went onto the laptop and we pulled up the Chinese version of the Bible and we just played the audio so she could listen to it. And at the end, you know, we shared, we said, we take it by faith that God has opened your eyes and that now you see him. And our prayer for you is that God continues to keep your eyes open to see him every day and the heart is soft. And then we said, let's pray. So we prayed together. And even as we were praying, she was, you know, folding her hands and closing her eyes and nodding. And I was like, wow, like, she, you know, she's actually engaging with us in prayer. So, you know, I take it by faith that God has done a work in her. And I cannot say it's anything that we did. I truly believe it is through the work of intercession. It's through the power of God and him alone. He alone can get the glory for that. You know what I mean? But that's what I'm saying for us as New Vine, is that intercession will change situations that we cannot. And I think that's one thing that I want to impart to us today, is that we are an interceding church, that we're a house of prayer, and that we are a church that will contend in intercession for God's breakthrough. Amen. So to end this time, I like what we did in the beginning. I think we're going to do it again. I want us to regather into groups of maybe, let's say 3 to 4, okay? And you guys just choose one person in your group that would like to share, I want you to intercede on my behalf for this situation. And I want us to take time to pray together and to seek the Lord and to really contend together in intercession on whoever's behalf. Can we do that? Okay. So just have, yeah, you can play in the background and just find a group of 3 to 4 among you and just take, we're going to take next 5 minutes or so, and you just one person can share and just pray together, okay? So God, I want to thank you, God, for what a privilege it is, Lord, that you have called us your very own sons and daughters. And I want to thank you, Lord, that you invite us into the ministry of prayer and intercession. And thank you, God, that you have imparted your heart to us, Lord, and you don't leave us to ourselves, God, but that you involve us to pray heaven onto earth. So God, today we want to respond as your intercessors. We want to be the ones, God, that will grasp the heart of God and stand in the gap. God, I want to pray for, we pray for our church, New Vine, today, that we will be a house of prayer. God, that we will be ones that pray together as a community and pray and intercede for breakthrough. And so, God, we thank you. I want to thank you, God, for your miracles and your signs and your wonders that you have already done in New Vine. And God, even for the ones that we cannot see yet, we continue to speak heaven onto earth, and we continue to speak your will be done in each of our situations in our lives, Lord. And so I want to bless us today, yeah, with the gift of overcoming and the gift of not being in the spirit of despair, but you know that the Lord has involved you with him and that you can stand with him and to see our community change and your life change and the lives around you change for the glory of God, and that nothing is impossible for God. the hardened heart can turn to Jesus, and the sick can be healed, and situations can turn around for the glory of God. And so, Lord, today we want to see with the eyes of faith, Lord, and we want to see what you are doing. And so, Lord, we thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.